My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Final hour of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Commanders have named their 53, the initial one, of course, by tomorrow, 1 p.m. We'll know more about what they got. We will know more about, what they ultimately will do with the practice squad. So we will get to all of that, the latest version tomorrow. Plus, tomorrow, Anthony, we should have said this throughout the show today. This is a bad, bad hosting job by me. I don't know why I went into like a Minnesota accent for that. The point is, Anthony, that we are closing in on NFL season, which means it's time for the Hoffman Show's annual Fantasy Football League. And how that works is you get to play fantasy football with me and Anthony by calling into the show and telling us why you belong in the league. And we're going to do that tomorrow, and we're going to do it a little bit differently than we've done in the past, which is to say, we typically have just done a whole hour of calls at 4 o'clock, and it's been really great, and people have enjoyed it, and that's fine. But we want to mix it up because we know that a lot of people listen at different times. We're on for 3 hours, and to give, especially those of you that are listening, say at this time, this is your normal commute, and you're still working at 4 o'clock or pretending to, at least your boss won't let you go home yet. Then that's not very fair to you. So we're gonna. I got one more person in mind, Anthony. Potentially to fill out a quote-unquote celebrity spot. So if we have that and we do a 12-team league, that would leave 9 spots. So we could do 3 in the 4 o'clock hour, 3 in the 5 o'clock hour, and 3 in the 6 o'clock hour. And so I think that's the plan for tomorrow. So at 4:30, 5:30, and 6:30 tomorrow, we might have to do the 4-1 at 4:45, but we'll see. Depends on what time Adam Peters gets done with his press conference. We will select who is in the Hoffman Show Fantasy Football League. So the parameters here are not, I've been the 7-time champion of 4 different fantasy. I don't care about your fantasy football accolades. I need to know why you belong in our league. What is your connection to our show? Do you get the show? And if you do, you're in the league. And if not, then I'm going to say, that's great, thank you, and I'm going to go to the next call. So that's tomorrow, 301-230-0980. If you want to save that in your phone now, that way you know tomorrow it's 301-230-0980. For right now, though, Dan Quinn. DQ speaking to the press today after naming his 53-man roster. Of course, Adam Peters, really the one who names that. And the biggest shock, I think, for everybody was what they did at edge rusher. I think a lot of people expected them to try to keep Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Jamin Davis, but not at the expense of KJ Henry, the fifth-round pick from last year who had a good camp and a good preseason. Not just me, Logan, and we talked about how we thought he was on a totally different level than those other guys and it really secured his spot. And then turns out not so much. So why did they keep Jean-Baptiste and Davis over Henry? Here's DQ.
I think, honestly, when you're going into, new programs, you're really looking at you know, some things that will change. And, you know, scheme fits and what you're looking for. Sometimes when you're, you know, going into something new, you're looking for different scheme, different fits. But I think by and large, we've really been pleased with what we've seen from Jamin. And that certainly was part of the factor.
I get it. And maybe they think they can get Henry through to practice squad. And they might be right on that. He was a fifth rounder last year. It's not like he was a second rounder. That said, he was a fifth rounder, not a seventh rounder. And he did play pretty well in the preseason. If I'm the Patriots, I'm going, that dude just smashed my quarterback. I know he was kind of unblocked on that play, but he was disruptive on a couple of others. I'm going, wait, that dude's available? Like, we'll bring him in for some depth along the D-line. There's a couple other places that could use some D-line depth that KJ Henry could be a great fit for them and could wind up on a 53. With that said, he works really hard. He's got a great attitude, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit to see him back here on the practice squad. But they like the project of John Baptiste, and they think he's good enough right now to be, I guess, as effective as Henry. They like the project of Jamin Davis and think that for what role they're going to put him in, that he's a better fit. And that's their job. I don't think, like, at the end of the day, we wind up spending a lot of time and energy on these final roster spots because it's what we have to talk about at this time of year. But these guys are, and they're not inconsequential either. It's not like there's no validity to talking about them, but the guys that are going to win and lose you games are the guys whose roster spots were not in question. So that is probably worth pointing out as well. As for how they go into the decision-making process, weighing draft picks, new guys versus the old regime, especially in a time when there were so many players from the old regime that have been sent out one way or another. How did they go about making those decisions? Here was DQ.
Yeah, I think once I took the job, they're my guys too. And so we're always going to make what we think is the best decision for the team, John. That's our obligation. No ours or theirs or any of that kind of good stuff. Like, once I was here, man, I connected with lots of players here. And so, yeah, no looking at anything other than just, you know, what do we need to do best for the team? And really, that's where it starts and ends.
I really appreciate that answer from DQ, although I will poke one small hole in it that's not remotely DQ's fault. There is just a natural human bias towards our own want to be correct. And so if it comes down to two guys that you like a lot, you're probably going to go with the guy that you selected. And that's just how it is. Every team does it. But the goal is to make sure that that's not a driving force, that it really is a tiebreaker, not a driving force. And I actually believe Dan Quinn, especially Dan Quinn, when he talks about that, it's also not his decision. It's Adam Peters' decision. And I'd be curious how AP addresses that tomorrow. My guess is he goes, I thought Dan said it great yesterday. You know, these are our guys too. But that also doesn't delete the substantive argument of the guys that were here were a part of a 4-win year last year. The guys that were brought in by Peters and Quinn were brought in for substantive reasons. They liked something about them. And so, for instance, Javonte John-Baptiste or even Jamin Davis, let's take one of their guys that became our guy because they embarked on a position switch and it became their experiment, right? Our experiment, if you're Dan Quinn specifically, as the head coach in charge of that experiment. They liked what they saw out of Jameis in that experiment to go, this is worth continuing with. There's something they liked in Javonte John-Baptiste that made them draft him. They saw that play out on the field versus, okay, guys that were a part of this 4-win team last year, they might have seen some of the stuff that was a warning flag or a reason why they didn't produce at the level to win more than 4 games. And I know there's a lot that went into the stinkiness that was last year, but I think sometimes we get caught up on the narrative side and don't necessarily evaluate it on the substance of why that narrative exists in the first place. Bunch of guys from a 4-win team versus guys brought in for specific reasons, many of which showed on the field, and thus it is a substantive argument, not a theirs versus ours narrative argument. When we get back, a little bit more from Dan Quinn before we talk about one of the hottest stories in the DMV coming up at 6:30.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. There's a story that has taken over the DMV online. And sometimes online stories are silly, but sometimes things that are being discussed in the TikTok and Instagram worlds are worth discussing. And this is one of my favorite topics. And we also need to defend the DMV, so we'll do that coming up at 6. There, I also saw this story, by the way, Anthony. They were talking about it on the news. So, like, it's off the internet. It is on the airwaves, not just because we're about to put it there. People were talking about it on TV.
It's made its way to Indianapolis as well. Zaire asked me about it.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's reaching, you know, some.
It's got legs, as they say.
Yeah.
It's got legs. It's running. We'll talk about it at 6:30. Commanders, though, named their 53-player roster today. Dan Quinn speaking afterwards and had some interesting things to say, as he tends to do. He's actually a genuinely thoughtful person at the podium, which is great. But one of the interesting decisions that I definitely did not predict, we actually did very well, by the way. We got 49 of 53 players correct. On our 53, we actually, Anthony, got 48 of 53 correct from our initial one that we did before I went to France.
Oh, wow.
So, good job by us. Missed, like, you know, Bryson Tremaine at that point and a couple other guys that were playing well and made sense at the time.
Yeah.
But we also got a kicker to be named later correct. So, what's up on that one? Anyway. One thing that we did not have correct on any of these was them keeping 3 quarterbacks. Why did Dan Quinn ultimately decide that was the right decision for the Commanders, with Jeff Driscoll joining Marcus Mariota and Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I think as you're going through it, you're just with them. Quite honestly, we like, you know, this quarterback room. And you just want as many guys in the building that are going through the process, understanding the system and working it out. It's such an important position. As you're going through it, you want as many guys in the building that are always developing and always pushing. So no other reason other than just, you know, the talent of the group. And we really felt like these group was really pushing it. And so that was the reason behind it.
I think that what he says first there of we really liked the quarterback room, it actually says a lot. One thing that I would be really protective of if I was this organization is the ecosystem around Jaden Daniels. I'm extremely, now that I feel like I've gotten that pick right, you know, I want to make sure that I got that pick right. Like, we did a good job with the scouting process. We got to understand the person. He fits what we do. He's shown that he's got the talent. He's shown that he's got the makeup. So if he doesn't pan out, it's now our fault. It's not his fault. He's proven that he's up to the task. It's our fault. So how do I make sure that he's got the right coaches around him? How do I make sure he's got the right teammates around him? And a lot of focus has, you know, fairly, I guess, been put on the weapons that he has or doesn't have. And, oh, why don't you go get insert veteran expensive receiver X? And I would say that's a bit overrated. Like, I would rather let him grow into that, and over time, like, let's make some investments down the road, see what we can build through the draft, because that is how Adam Peters wants to do this. But having the right guys, the right voices, the right mentors in the room is really important. And that's why Marcus Mariota is so essential to Jaden Daniels' future. And the hope is that he is his backup for certainly this year, if not multiple years, and never actually has to play outside of, hey, it's Marcus Mariota time because the Commanders are up 30 in the fourth quarter. That'd be cool if we got some human victory cigar Marcus Mariota moments in the next couple of years. But realistically, you hope that Jaden is playing and playing through to the final whistle and things are going great. But having Jeff Driskel in the room and keeping the dynamic the same with him and Mariota and presumably Hartman, maybe McSorley, like, I'm down with that because he seems to thrive amongst those guys. Let's let him continue to thrive. And so, you know, yes, having extra insurance, especially in a year where you're entering it with Mariota coming off this groin injury, is also very smart for the football team. But for Daniel's development, having the right guys in the room, important. As for the wide receiver position, a lot of folks, I think, incorrectly thought that either Bryson Tremaine or Martavis Bryant would make the team. I just thought it was too steep of a hill to climb, slash they didn't perform quite well enough. Bryant, I would definitely expect to see back on practice squad and see if they can continue to get him up to speed. And maybe eventually, if he's out there torching their corners every single day in practice, do you elevate him and see what he can do? Perhaps. But, you know, scoring a touchdown on a fourth corner who probably got cut today in New England, they picked on that dude the entire fourth quarter. Congrats, you scored on not an NFL player, with all due respect to that dude whose name I've forgotten, so I'm doing a great job on the all due respect part. But that's not enough to make the team. But what went into to move on from Bryant for now, as well as the other big-bodied receiver in camp who started hot but ultimately fell off in Bryson Tremaine?
Yeah, Liam, it's two different spaces, really. So Martavis getting here later, obviously, that certainly had a factor on. You know, proud of him for learning, you know, a good bit of the system to be ready to play, especially more extended play time versus New England. And with Bryson, man, he's really putting in the work and has a bigger role on special teams, obviously, to go. And so a number of these guys, Liam, you can imagine, are right on that cusp. And so that's what you're looking to do, is give them feedback about what it'll take to take the next steps. And it's a hard day for a coach or a general manager, because you know, real emotions for guys that are absolutely going for it, that love the game. And so, you know, we want to make sure we spend time with each player. So it takes a long time, but it's really important, and the players deserve it, to give them that feedback.
I'd be so curious to know what they told Bryson Tremaine. And in some ways, Cole Turner as well. Like, hey, you guys came out here and whew, you busted your butts. You really went for it. It's just not good enough. And it might be a production thing for both of them. They have big penalties. Maybe it's a discipline thing. You know, Tremaine, I think back one of the early like DQ moments in camp was him going up to Tremaine, talking to him about like, this is how we line up, like setting the new standard. And Bryson, I think, responded fairly well to that throughout the entirety of camp. But maybe there's just an inner fire and urgency that they don't see from him, that it's like, hey, man, if you can prove to us that this is everything to you, maybe that's it. Maybe it's, hey man, like, we need you to go work on your speed. I know it's really hard, but like, we need you to get a little faster. I don't know what it is, but I would love to know what that conversation is with Bryson Tremaine, and to see if they keep him around and let him try to improve on some of that stuff in the building, or do they let him go and he winds up on a practice squad, probably somewhere else, because he is a guy with the big body, you know, smart kid, obviously went to Stanford, so, you know, comes with certain level of intellect, but plays on special teams as well. He's played some PP, that personal punt protector role. So he could be a useful part of a team on a practice squad that gets called up in a pinch if you need an extra receiver or need a special teams guy. And that could very well include this team. For Bryant, it's more of a what would happen if you gave him more time to learn the playbook and continue to play. And I don't know. He's 32 years old. He hasn't played in an NFL game since 2018. And for a league that's willing to tolerate basically anything, that's telling. And I know that some of that is suspension related, that he hasn't been in the league. But if he was amazing, teams would be fighting for his services. He, at 32 years old, he's just not what he was in 2014 anymore. That was a long, long time ago. Y'all have been listening to me for a long time in D.C. I didn't live here in 2014. That's how long ago that was when he was a rookie with the Steelers, catching 8 touchdowns. So I'm just not surprised on Bryant. On the pleasant surprise front, you had Colson Yankoff, tight end, just really played well. One of the UDFAs, Tyler Owens. I think that was, I would have been surprised by the end if he didn't make it. But what does it mean for Dan Quinn to be able to tell those two undrafted free agents, hey, congratulations, you've made the 53-man roster?
Yep, I'd say both of them really, have the propensity to absolutely go for it. You feel their intensity. You feel their speed when they play, both on special teams and on offense and defense, respectively. So at the end of it, when you're really trying to establish an identity, David, that you've heard me use that word before, I think those examples come back up. The speed, the physicality, the effort, the straining, those are things that are commander-style play, and I thought those two really represented that.
So that's Dan Quinn today talking about all the different decisions that the Commanders have made. Again, they have a lot more to make. They're possibly even working on trades right now. If you're listening live, well, they haven't made any yet because we would have told you. But if you're listening to this later on the podcast or watching on YouTube or something on demand because you couldn't catch the show live, perhaps you're like, yep, they did sure make a trade. John Ridgeway, a name certainly to watch within that realm. And we'll see practice squads, waiver claims, all that kind of stuff gets finalized by 1 o'clock tomorrow. But then there's a whole other kind of trickle down like, oh, team X claims player Y. That means they cut player Z. Well, now the Commanders might go after player Z. So by 1 o'clock tomorrow, we'll have, I would say probably, 50 of the 53 at least should be in place, if not 51, 52. But there's still a chance that some moves get made by, next Wednesday when they rejoin together and get started on week one, Tampa, the prep, the whole deal as they get together as a team. All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, one of the internet's most popular food reviewers came to the DMV. It didn't go great, and we have thoughts. We will share and give you more details if you haven't heard about this next on the Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.